Now, a military milestone that the Army apparently isn't terribly enthusiastic about sharing with the world. The first group of women ever to graduate from the U.S. Army's infantry training for enlisted soldiers was certified as combat ready earlier this month. The 18 women from a class of about 140 completed the grueling program more than 4 years after the Obama administration ordered the Pentagon to open all combat positions to women. Partly because the Army did not lower a single standard for the women recruits, unlike other training programs for women in the U.S. military, the dropout rate among female recruits was 44%, more than double the men. Among the tests, hurling a grenade 35 meters, dragging a 268-pound dummy 15 meters, running 5 miles in less than 45 minutes while carrying 68 pounds— Ellen Herring is a West Point graduate and retired Army colonel. She's now director of the Service Women's Action Network and has been an advocate for women in combat for years.
I see this as a huge milestone, even though the Army is trying to play it down. I think it's a little bit different from what I went through in the early 80s when the first women were graduating from West Point. When we went through, there were different standards, physical fitness standards, not across the board, but just in certain areas that built some resentment. In the current situation, though, the Army's learned a lot of lessons, and the women and the men are meeting the exact same requirements for these various combat occupations. And so I think that's a big equalizer, and it's a not only a historic event, but it was a smart move on the Army's part. I wish we'd done it many years ago.
And it was something that women who participated in this program insisted upon, I would think.
Well, in fact, there is still a hair standard difference, so the women don't have to get their hair shaved when they go through these courses. However, many of them have elected to get their heads shaved so in solidarity with their male counterparts. That's one of the few areas where there is still an existing different standard that, like I said, it sometimes builds resentment when guys don't want to get their heads shaved either. So the Army, I think the Army still got to work through some of this. But I love the fact that many of the women in the current classes have shaved their heads in solidarity with their male peers.
What do you make of the 44% dropout rate?
Well, I think that's always to be expected, especially in the first classes. We're still ironing things out. We're still working on the entrance standards. So in other words, when recruits show up to a recruiting station, they're now being put through a series of physical tests called the OPAT. I think it's Occupational Physical Assessment Test. That didn't happen before. We're trying to screen recruits to determine whether or not they have the physical capacity for these high-demand occupations. And maybe we don't have the screening fully set yet. So the fact that 44% of women fail doesn't surprise me. I think you'll see the numbers drop over time. We have certainly seen that happen with the combat engineers and especially the Army Sapper course. Initially, a lot of women were failing because they were showing up and they weren't prepared. But as the standards become clearer and the screening gets better, the women's graduation rates from the Army Sapper course are approximately the same as the men's. So I expect to see that the rates will equalize more as time goes by, although it's likely that women will never make it at the exact same rate simply because of the physical size difference.
And of the combat forces that would be a part of active duty service members in uniform, where would these individuals go? Would they just be put in various infantry units? Would they be in command units? Is there a special unit that would be made up mostly of women? How is this going to be organized?
Sure. So the way the Army is rolling this out is that the women in the first infantry and armor courses in the pipeline are going to two units. They're going to the 82nd at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and they're going to the 1st Cav at Fort Hood, Texas. They're being assigned just like their male peers. As far as I know, there isn't any specific unit within the 82nd that's taking on the women, except that they have tried to begin to fill out units one at a time with female leaders so that there's women in leadership positions in those units before they introduce the first enlisted women. So the first women officers actually graduated from the infantry and armor courses last fall. They're now at the 82nd and the 1st Cav when these new enlisted infantry women will join those units.
In the lead up to this milestone, the military has had to become much more vigilant about the potential for sexual abuse in all of the services. What's the track record so far in the early going for this group?
I haven't heard of any problems right now with the first initial training groups in terms of harassment or assault, particularly military sexual assault, which is wonderful in my book. What we do know historically is that countries, communities, organizations that are more equal have lower rates of harassment and assault against women. So I think that this is the last step that the military needs to take in order to create a level playing field that reduces harassment and assault.
You're a retired colonel and have worked very hard as an advocate for women in combat. Yet I'm wondering if deep down you wish maybe you were born a couple of decades maybe later than your birthday actually was.
You know, people have asked me that. Some of my classmates at West Point have said, hey, if it were an option, would you have gone infantry or armor? And honestly, I don't know what the answer would be. What I would have wanted was at least to have had the choice or the option. And what's interesting is women have been doing a lot of these very physically demanding and challenging activities for a long time without being able to actually join the infantry. So way back in the 80s, I was an air assault qualified, which means I could rappel out of helicopters, did those long distances carrying equipment. And then women have been going through airborne school and sapper training school, Pathfinder's course for decades. So this isn't something brand new to what women have been required to do, but opening the infantry as an occupation is.
You made the point that the Army isn't making much of this. Do you think the Army's playing this down?
Yes, definitely the Army's playing it down. I think it's fortunate and unfortunate. Here's why it's fortunate. They're trying to reduce the attention that's focused on these women because they don't want any kind of negative blowback or resentment and the sense that, oh, they only did this to draw attention to themselves. So I think they've played it down for that reason. But I also think that there's a problem with playing it down, and that is that this is historic. And if we want to recruit more women, we need to make it clear to women that it's happening and that they're welcome and that this is what you need to do to be able to join these kinds of occupations. So I'm a little disappointed with the level of media coverage. It was almost non-existent. And I think that's unfortunate from a recruiting perspective, because those women who are in there, who just graduated, talked about how as soon as they heard that it was open, they wanted that. So more women need to know that. They'll be inspired by them.
Ellen Herring, West Point graduate and retired Army colonel, is now director of the Service Women's Institute for the Service Women's Action Network and advocate for women in combat. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.